Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. That's right. It's Monday morning. That means it's time for Oh Snap with Packers long snapper Brett Goode, who's going to kick off the show with us this morning. Mr. Brett Goode, I would ask how you're doing today, but you'd probably be better after a win, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely be better after a win. That's a tough one to kind of take on the chin. Just makes us, you know, we got to get back to work today and start getting on and preparing for the next game. We got to get in there and see the mistakes that we made, make our corrections, and we got to move on.
There's no easy way to put it, but how do you react to having a 21-3 lead at halftime and then losing the game?
It's kind of shocking. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to give credit to the Colts. They never quit when we had that big lead, and they came back and were able to put a good game plan together against us, and they executed, and we didn't. So we just got to, like I said, we got to forget about it, learn from our mistakes, and move on towards Houston, because we can't let them beat us 2 weeks in a row.
What's wrong? What's the missing piece? What's happening to the Packers that that you're not doing now that you were doing a year ago or 2 years ago?
I don't think you can say there's a missing piece per se. I think that it's a totally different team. Last year was a different team than the team that won the Super Bowl. Every team's different on every year, and we have to find how to win. We haven't figured out how to win yet, and the close games, and we have to come together as a team and do that. And hopefully we can get started on it this week. And once we can do that, I think we can start to build some momentum and start stacking success.
Is there anything you can do different during this week, during the week of practice, to change things up as you get ready for Houston?
I don't think you change anything. I think you just got to make sure that every individual has to do their job. You know, we got to make sure that everybody's taking care of their body, making sure that the film study's there, and making sure that the practices are good. You know, we have to go out there and execute in practice, and because if you don't execute in practice, you're probably not going to execute it in the game. So it definitely starts on the practice field and then the film study and then the weight room. So we've got to get back to work. We've got a full week to be able to prepare for Houston, and we just got to go back and take care of business.
One of the bright spots from Sunday's game was the punt coverage unit. I know Tim Mastay came into the game leading the league in punts down inside the 20, and then the punt coverage unit had four more of those on Sunday. How have you and the punt team been able to be so good at pinning opponents deep in their own territory?
Well, first and foremost, you got to give credit to Tim. I think he's hitting the ball really well, extremely well. I know yesterday he hit that one where he's standing in our own end zone and put them all, hit a ball all the way back to the opposite 30. And, the guys are wanting to cover. They know that he's going to hit it well and it puts some excitement in guys. And I think the guys just go out there and everybody's kind of playing off of each other and trying not to give the returner any room to run. And, it's worked out for us so far. And we just got to keep moving. We can't let it be a standstill. We just got to keep improving on it. And hopefully we can get better.
Looking ahead to the next game, you have a tough opponent in the Houston Texans who've played like one of the best teams in the NFL. Can you give us a little bit of a scouting report or maybe just what you expect from them?
I expect that, they're gonna continue to do what they do best. And, obviously they've had a good game plan so far this year, and they're going to have a home crowd. And, we just got to go in there, and it's not really what they do. It's what we do. We got to go out there and execute. We're not executing on all cylinders, and that's our job that we have to get corrected. And I think once we can do that, then, we can beat anybody, and we have to go out there and prepare this week to be able to do that.
Houston has a retractable roof. Is it difficult at all to prepare, not knowing whether it'll be opened or closed, especially for a guy on special teams and how wind can affect a kick or a punt and how that affects you? I know you're not.
Well, the good thing about Well, the good thing about Green Bay is, you know, we get some wind and weather here, so we're able to train for every condition. The thing about the indoor, you know, Indianapolis could have done it too, but they have to do it in before pregame, and so you get to get out there to adjust to pregame and kind of, you know, get a feel for everything. So, you know, we can just go out there and we got prepared. I know it's a grass field, and that's, you know, it's a grass field and they got a retractable roof. We don't know if it'll be open or closed, but like I said, we got to just kind of go out there and focus on our job and focus on our technique and try and get better as a team.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Brett. I know it's not always easy to talk about a loss, but we wish you luck and hope we can talk about a win in the near future.
All right, me too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Brett Goode, Packers log snapper, joining us here for Oh Snap with Brett Goode here on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him for joining us this morning, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here this morning at Cheesehead TV. So let's get to it. Let's talk about this game that occurred on Sunday, a game which, you know, some of us probably rather forget, but regardless, we're going to break down what happened here. And I'm not sure your comments are being approved on the live blog this morning. So what you're going to have to do is use Twitter. If you're joining us live, tweet with the hashtags Railbird, the hashtags Cheesehead TV, or perhaps even easier, use that handy dandy Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. So if you use that, your comments will show through. And thank you for doing that, and thanks for joining us. All right, Packers lose yesterday, a game in which the Packers should have won. They were leading 21-3 at halftime. And really, I mean, you can't, what more can you do? You know, what more can you do? That's as much as you can ask. You have a nice big halftime lead of 18 points. And then, you know, of course, the final score says 30-27. And you let the Colts get back into it. Just pretty much, it was a tale of two halves. Packers dominated the first half. Colts played even better in the second half than the Packers did in their first half. So, you know, it's a loss. And, you know, the Packers now 2-3, which is not good news for the Green Bay Packers. They are less than 500. They were hoping to get above 500 this game, you know, coming against a team that was, you know, the worst in the NFL last season based upon its regular season record, a team that's kind of rebuilding here. And definitely there's talent there with Andrew Luck, with Reggie Wayne, but really no excuses for what happened. It's something that should not have happened to the Green Bay Packers. So, you know, it's a tough one to swallow because this really puts the Packers in a bind. Now, as everybody knows, we just talked about it with Brett Goode, they travel to Houston this next week, next Sunday. I think it's a Sunday night football game, right, on NBC. A lot of the nation will be tuned in. The Texans have played like one of the best teams in the NFL. It's not going to be easy whatsoever. I think I saw a player tweet after the game, and you know, pardon me, I don't remember who it is, and maybe somebody can tell us here on the live blog. But you know, saying they're not going to have any pity on us. The Houston Texans aren't, and that's exactly correct. I mean, if the Packers want to win, they're going to have to get physical, and they're going to have to, you know, get things going for themselves because the Texans aren't going to lay down. They're having their best start in franchise history. They think they're Super Bowl contenders. They're in it to win it, as the saying goes. And yeah, nobody's going to take pity on the Packers. They're going to have to win. They're going to be in for a battle this upcoming week. More on that later in the week here as we, you know, throughout the week, we'll get more and more into the Texans game. Today, we're kind of looking back, though, at this Colts game and a game the Packers should have won. You know, let's look at the first half, what the Packers did well. You know, the offense was in a groove, basically. You know, before Cedric Benson went out of the game, the Packers, you know, had a nice balanced attack. Aaron Rodgers was hitting his receivers. You know, James Jones, Randall Cobb with first half touchdowns. The defense was getting after the quarterback. There were four first half sacks. The special teams and Tim Mastey were doing their job, pinning opponents deep. So all that was going in the Packers' favor the first half of the game. Looks good, right? They, you know, leading 21-3 at halftime and everything's hunky-dory. And then the wheels come off in the second half. And, you know, injuries played a part of it. The Packers lost three starters to injury during Sunday alone. And that's not to mention Greg Jennings, who didn't even play yesterday, Pro Bowl wide receiver. But they lose Cedric Benson in the second quarter, B.J. Raji, nose tackle, in the second quarter, and then tight end JerMichael Finley in the second half. And, you know, I'm not making excuses here. I think the Packers should have won even without all those injuries because, you know, first of all, Alex Green, I thought, replaced Cedric Benson just fine. So the running game didn't seem affected too much. I think the play calling was the problem there, if anything was wrong with the running game in the second half. You know, B.J. Raji, I thought Mike Neal stepped up. You know, of course. So, you know, the Indiana native, you know, getting excited, coming back from his suspension, you know, playing in front of friends and family, I assume. I guess I can't confirm that. But anyway, so, I mean, I'm not sure how big of an impact B.J. Raji has had. I mean, obviously, I'd rather play with them, but, you know, I think the Packers can win without him. And then you got JerMichael Finley. You know, he's a guy who dropped the ball himself before he went out. And, you know, DJ Williams comes in. He has a big drop. But, you know, it's the Packers should win without these guys. They should be able to win without these guys. It'd be nice to have them, obviously. But there's no excuse for giving up, you know, the 18-point lead at halftime. So, like I said, it was a tale of two halves. Everything's going great in the first half. You know, let's take it, you know, offense, defense here. Offense, the offense is working in the first half. Aaron Rodgers is on. His passer rating is incredible in the first half. Like I said, he has two touchdown passes. And the offense is, even though maybe the running game wasn't great in the first half, it was balanced. You know, what did Cedric Benson has seven rushes before he comes out. And, you know, the ground game is going. It's not going anywhere, but it's, you know, it brought balance to the attack. And then the second half comes, the second half of the football game. And the Packers call seven straight passes to open the second half. And, of course, one of those was the interception. Aaron Rodgers has the turnover, and the Packers go three and out. And, you know, part of it, you know, you'd just blame it for the offense as a whole not working. Had they gotten a first down or two somewhere in those seven plays, you know, all of a sudden then, you probably would have seen a run. But, I mean, you know, hindsight 2020 here. The Packers got to run the football, especially when you have a lead. There's no reason to come out firing like that in the second half. No reason for it whatsoever. The Packers have to have a balanced attack, especially when you're holding a lead like that. Especially, you know, that's the time when you need it more than anything else. So that right there, I blame on head coach Mike McCarthy. You know, you got to run the foot, especially first downs once in a while. You know, even if it doesn't go anywhere, you got hopefully second and 10, second and 9. You know, and you hope that you get a little bit of yardage. You hope you're facing at least second and 7. But, and even then, at least time's coming off the clock, too. You know, you're leaving the Colts with less time to make their comeback. You know, that's the biggest part of it. That's why you run the football. in the when you have a lead and it's the second half. So some issues there. And, you know, of course, I do think Alex Green looked good. It'll be interesting to find out what happens here in going forward. What happens with Cedric Benson? How bad is his injury? There wasn't really any definitive, you know, word one way or the other what Cedric Benson's injury is. I think I read an interview in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He thinks it's a sprain, but, you know, there's no, you know, they got to wait until, I don't know, x-rays or the swelling to go down or whatever. So we don't know. He could miss the Texans game. So what do the Packers do going forward? Do they go with Alex Green, who had the nice 41-yard run? Longest Packers run play of the year. Might be the longest since Brandon Jackson, I believe, had that 70-some yarder in 2010, the Super Bowl season, which came rather early in the Super Bowl season, by the way. Might have been the longest since that time. I can't confirm that either. I'd have to look through a lot of statistics to find out if that was the case. Regardless, it was a nice run by Alex Green. So what did the Packers do? Did they go with him? Or does James Starks finally active next week? You know? Is he he was apparently healthy coming into this week's game. Kind of a question of whether or not he would play. Ends up he does not. Is inactive. But you know, you could be looking at the first time he's active next week. And does he share time with an Alex Green? That's the running game. Passing game, I said it already. Aaron Rodgers looked sharp in the first half. James Jones, Randall Cobb doing their thing. But, you know, in the second half, especially Aaron Rodgers was not himself. You know, you've kind of gotten used to Aaron Rodgers looking like, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, Super Bowl MVP, regular season MVP. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week last week. Just hasn't been himself this year. And it showed in the second half when he throws the interception, but just off target. You know, there was that play in the first half. He couldn't hit Jordy Nelson, which looked for sure like a long TD, but just couldn't sustain drives. You know, and I don't want to say Aaron Rodgers is the sole reason the Packers lost. That's not the case. But, you know, he's certainly didn't help the Packers win either. I mean, he did his part, especially in the first half, but just not quite as sharp, not quite the guy we've seen before. You know, something's got to click with Aaron Rodgers here. And, you know, the worst part is taking the sacks, you know, hanging on to the ball too long. You know what? The Packers gave up 5 sacks in the second half of the ball game. It was kind of reminiscent of the Seattle first half. Not quite as bad, but when you're giving up 5 sacks, you are not doing yourself any favors. You know, that's a tough one to swallow. That's a tough one to handle right there. It was a tale of two halves. It was the Packers who were putting the pressure on the Colts the first half of the game. The Packers had 4 sacks and, what was it, 6 quarterback hits in the first half. The Packers defense got that against Andrew Luck. And then the second half, the Packers pass rush goes away, and it's the Colts putting the pass rush on the Packers, sacking Aaron Rodgers 5 times. And, you know, the blame just goes everywhere. Aaron Rodgers hanging onto the ball too long. Jeff Saturday and his homecoming to Indianapolis, he gets beat for a sack. So, you know, there's blame to go all around, and there's dropped footballs. You name it by the offense. You know, nothing too special there in the second half. They had the one drive there that the Packers regained the lead. But again, that was mainly due to the 41-yard run by Alex Green. You know, that there wasn't anything too special the Packers passing game did there. I mean, that they had the touchdown throw from Rodgers to Jones, which is great, but that was you know, one play. And, you know, okay, so we talk about the offense here. Now talk about the defense. Defense doing a great job again. First half, limit the Colts to 3 points. They're getting the pass rush on. They sack Andrew Luck 4 times in the first half, and then it all switched at halftime. And it was mainly the Andrew Luck to Reggie Wayne show in the second half. And what a game Reggie Wayne had, the longtime NFL veteran. He's at least like 12, 13, 14 years in the NFL. Maybe not quite that. What was it, 12? I don't even know. But, you know, Reggie Wayne has, 13 receptions for 212 yards, if I'm correct. You know, just tearing up the Packers secondary against a variety of players, Tremont Williams, Charles Woodson, both getting beat by Reggie Wayne. And, you know, Reggie Wayne's a good player, obviously, many multiple-time Pro Bowler there. But, I mean, for guys who are supposed to be the best players in your secondary, I guess I was hoping for more out of them. Charles Woodson in particular looked, you know, poor on Sunday. It just always seems to have his hands on the defender. Twice called for defensive penalties, at one for holding, one for interference. You know, he's just, you can't do that. And he's doing it because he's a step slow now. He's getting older. He's getting slower. But, you know, 2 penalties, and on top of the penalties, getting beat. Just an ugly game from Charles Woodson. You know, you can forgive some of those things like I have in the past when Charles Woodson is getting interceptions. And, you know, he came into the game, of course, with this reputation of making life hard on rookie quarterbacks. And here the Packers are facing a rookie quarterback, facing Andrew Luck. But that didn't happen on Sunday. So, you know, Andrew Luck just carves apart the Packers defense. Charles Woodson not looking good. So, I mean, that's got to change. And, you know, and everybody was at fault. You know, I actually thought the young guys, once again, did play a pretty good game. Sam Shields, of course, being the victim of a pass interference call. But had it not been for that, and which I think most people agree was quite the head scratcher at the minimum. I mean, he did not deserve to get a pass interference call on that play late in the fourth quarter there. That, you know, helped set up another Colts score. And Casey Hayward, the rookie, coming away with his first career interception, did a really good job staying stride for stride with Reggie Wayne and getting the Packers a turnover at a time where I think they held a 21-19 lead. And a situation there where the Packers were, you know, trying to wear away the ball game, but they couldn't do anything in the next offensive series. The Packers turned the ball over, get it back, and then, if I'm correct, they went 3 and out, right? You know, just nothing working for them. You know, they play opportunistic football there for once and can't do anything with it. I guess that does go back to the larger problem here, though. This Packers defense is not forcing turnovers this year like it did a year ago. Even though the Packers gave up the most passing yards in the history of the NFL last year, you know what? At least they forced turnovers and led the league in interceptions. And that's not happening this year. You know, kudos to Casey Hayward for getting one, but the Packers are going to have to get more than one. You know, it doesn't have to be interceptions. It could be forced fumbles or whatever. But they've got to happen if the Packers are going to win. They got to start winning the turnover battle. Yesterday it was even, right? Aaron Rodgers throws the one interception, and then so does Andrew Luck, so it's even 1-1. Well, you know, there needs to be, they cancel each other out. You know, the Packers got to get an upper hand somewhere. And that's where you get it, by winning the turnover battle in many cases. So, you know, it doesn't matter where they come from, you know, but a guy's got to step up, you know, whether it's Tremont, especially Tremont Williams and Charles Woodson. And you know, a guy I'm losing patience with more and more every passing week is Morgan Burnett. Come on, man. This guy comes in, you know, with all this supposed potential, comes in and is a starter from week one of his rookie season. Well, you're expecting something out of him his third year in the NFL, right? You're waiting for the light bulb to go on. You're waiting for things to go click. And they're just not happening. And, you know, I look at the stats every week, and Morgan Burnett's leading the team in tackles. Well, I mean, when you're a safety and most of the tackles are coming at the third level, there's really nothing all that impressive about it. I mean, I'm glad that he's, you know, a rather dependable tackler. But, you know, that doesn't mean a whole lot, you know. You got to start making some plays. Morgan Burnett is becoming like A.J. Hawk. You know, they can both make a tackle here and there, but at some point, you got to be a playmaker. You got to make plays. You got to grab an interception. You got to get a sack. You got to force a fumble. Something. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough. To A.J. Hawk's credit, he has played better this season. There's very few times where we are assigning blame to A.J. Hawk maybe this season. And he certainly wasn't the reason the Packers lost yesterday. But, I mean, the Packers' defensive front yesterday, outside of Mike Neal a little bit, not doing a whole lot, not getting a whole lot of push. Jarrell Worthy's done nothing this year. I kind of give him a little bit of a pass because he's a rookie, but you know, at some point, you know, he's got to be more than just a guy, though. It's tough. It's tough. So where did the Packers go from here? You know, they, like I said, they're now 2-3. They're below 500 going into what could be the toughest game of the year, against the undefeated Houston Texans. Far from an easy one. I mean, the Packers are looking at possibly being 2-4 after next week. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to predict the Packers to win next week. It's the way they've been playing, the way the Texans have been playing, the way Texans have home field advantage. I mean, I hope the Packers win. Prove me wrong. But it's tough. I see on the live blog here, K Lamb Cheesehead, Kevin Lamb checking in saying, play Mike Daniels more. You know, that could be a case of something the Packers need to do. You know, Mike Daniels was inactive yesterday. He might be playing better than Jarrell Worthy. He might be the better option than Jarrell Worthy. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be the case over the course of both their careers, but, you know, Jarrell Worthy not doing a whole lot, and Mike Daniels in limited playing time doing just as much, you know, in the past few weeks prior to Sunday. So, you know, like I said, Packers, prove me wrong. I'm not going to pick you to win next week. I hope you do win. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope I have to eat crow. But things are not looking pretty at the moment. The good thing for the Packers, you know, we go back to the Super Bowl season. You know, the Packers were, what, 8-6. You know, heading into the last 2 weeks of the season, and they had two must-win games, the last two games of the year. And basically, they said the whole time that, you know, everything is in front of them, you know, and that's the attitude the Packers have to take right now. Everything's still in front of them. The season is far from lost,
But at some point, you do have to turn it on. At some point, the Packers are going to have to go on a long winning streak here. They're going to have to win 3, 4, 5 games in a row to make up for a 2-3 start to the season. It's tough to swallow right now. I suppose I can mention, too, we haven't mentioned this show yet, Mason Crosby, 2 missed field goals. If we want to analyze the special teams aspect here. Granted, they were both 50-yard plus. Granted, it was not Mason Crosby's fault that the Packers gave up an 18-point lead in the second half of the ball game. But, it's like his first miss of the game, which was his first of the season, by the way. That one I can almost excuse. It didn't seem to miss by a whole lot. But, man, when the Packers had a chance to tie the football game in the fourth quarter, I think, you know, before the play went off, 8 seconds on the clock, they had an opportunity to tie the football game, and Mason Crosby wasn't even close. You know, hits a knuckleball, you know, way far wide left. You know, disappointing. It's just, I don't have great confidence with Mason Crosby on the line, especially from deep. You know, it just, you know, there it's 0-for-2 from 50 yards plus today. You know, I Mason Crosby's fine when there's, you know, less than 40 yards to go, but I mean, most kickers are. Just that accuracy from long distance, there just always seems to be too much English on the ball. I don't know what it is, but, you know, there you go. There's another reason the Packers lost. Not the reason they gave up 18 points, but, you know, 2 missed field goals could be the difference in that ball game. And on top of that, the play before that, the Packers have a chance to get Mason Crosby in closer. Well, they call the timeout, and confusion reigns. And, man, was that a busted play right there, a blown opportunity, because the Packers had a timeout. So with 8 seconds on the clock, there was definitely an opportunity to run a quick pass play, get down, and get Mason Crosby into closer range. Blown opportunity there. No reason that should happen. I think I read an interview where, the Packers wanted to change their protection because they detected the Colts were bringing pressure. Well, I mean, they had ample opportunity to do that. No reason they shouldn't have been prepared for that, you know, ahead of time. So, blown opportunity there by the Packers to get Crosby in closer. You know, just... And it's just one of many mistakes the Packers made yesterday. Just one of many. Yeah, I'm kind of talking in circles here, you know, going from one point of the game to the other here this morning. But, that's the type of game it was. A lot of mistakes, a lot of blame to pass around. And, you know, you just swallow it. And now the Packers got to get better going forward, you know. They got to suck it up. They got to, everybody's had to take it individually. They got to each, every player's got to know they got to play better and turn it around. You know, as bad as I think a loss could be against the Texans, you know, how great would a win be against an undefeated Texans team, though? That could really change momentum around in the Packers' favor. You get a win on the road like that, all of a sudden you play an inferior team the next week against the St. Louis Rams. I mean, inferior compared to the Houston Texans, at least. And now you're feeling good about yourself. Now you're getting momentum at your side before you come home again. You know, so definitely the complexion of the season can change with one game. So lot still ahead for the Packers here. Season is not over. You know, not a good day here. Not going to sugarcoat it, but lot for the Packers to, you know, look forward to here as well. And righting the ship, turning it around, and qualifying for the playoffs, which everybody listening to this show hopes happens. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for joining us here this morning on Railbird Central. We'll be back once again on Wednesday. The show runs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, live at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, podcasted as always. We'll be back on Wednesday with Pro Football Focus's Nathan Yonke, as he joins us every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. So make sure to check that out. On behalf of Jamie Jors, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Liquid by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go. See you later, everyone.